Today's program is brought to you by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest level of veterinary care to pets throughout the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York, and surrounding areas since its founding in 2008. For more information, visit brooklyncaresvet.com.
I'm Grace Bonney of After the Jump, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and Jack Inslee's making the magic happen in the studio. Today, we've got Julia Szabo on as our guest. She's a writer and author and has recently published a fascinating book called Medicine Dog. Julia was very ill and was able to take cues from her own animal's healing regimen to research herself and get cured. She's in the studio with me today, and I'm excited to discuss her and her pet's journeys with stem cell therapy. Turns out you can get stem cells from belly fat. We're going to talk about that and lots more. Hey, Julia, thank you so much for coming to Roberta's today. How are you?
I'm great now that I'm here. Thanks for having me, Celia.
I'm so glad you're here. I'm so excited about this book. I read it over the past couple of days and was really, really fascinated by your whole quest and your whole journey and honestly by your dedication to go because there were so many stops and so many blocks. And I love your tenacity and the fact that you were able to take care of yourself. So this is a great book, and this is what we're going to be talking about. And Julia's whole journey about getting healthy. So have a seat and get comfortable because this is really, really fascinating. So at the beginning, you had a sick dog.
Yes, I had a very sick dog. Well, he had arthritis. He was quite old. Mm-hmm. He was 14. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, he's 14. That's a grand old age. And, you know, just let nature take its course. And I don't really abide by that kind of philosophy. So at this point, he could not lift his hind leg to pee. Mm. He was peeing with all four on the floor. Mm. And, you know, for a dignified, old, beautiful black pit bull, you know, that was kind of not a happy way to live.
Yeah.
But so then one day he collapses on the street, and I knew that there was no way I could carry a 75-pound, you know, dog. I mean, what was I going to do? You know, I was going to, you know, go to the chiropractor twice a week. So I jumped on the internet, and I started searching around for what I could do, and mm-hmm. that's how I came across stem cell therapy for dogs and
so
horses.
So you basically just heard about it then just doing research online?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. But if I had been sort of more proactive, as I say in my book, mm-hmm. I would have known that the company that I stumbled on, which is called Vet Stem in mm-hmm. San Diego, was treating many, many horses already for a couple of years. But since horses were not really my beat, I was the pets columnist for the New York Post, and, you know,
yeah.
really the only horses that we have in the city are police horses,
yeah.
and there weren't very many stories around that at that time. I mean, of course, they're the poor carriage horses, but, you know, nobody unfortunately cares enough about them. So I didn't realize that they had just transferred the technology to dogs and cats. And so then I learned it, and I immediately arranged for Sam to get it, and it was very successful. I mean, literally, within a few... That morning, when I took him to the clinic to get, you know, to get his fat taken out, he wiped out on the sidewalk.
Mm.
And then when I took him back 2 days later, after the fat was sent by FedEx to San Diego and then sent back in the form of his stem cells, mm-hmm. you know, having been separated from the fat... again, he wiped out. And then, you know, we were in a Volvo wagon. Now, what's closer to the ground
Seriously.
Than a Volvo wagon? You know, a toad's bottom. So basically, he wiped out, and this was really sad. Now, at the end of the day, he had to go under anesthesia for the injections.
Mm-hmm.
It was injected directly into the joint and
wow.
intravenously.
Wow.
So at the end of the day, they called me, and they said, well, we have our van, and we can drop him off for you. Now, obviously, the van is much higher up off the ground. And I was all set to lift him out, and he elbowed past me, you know, like a good paparazzo. And he jumped out, and he landed on all fours.
Wow.
And, you know, my jaw was hanging down, and then he was like, the dog was like, there's more. So he walked over to, you know how our dogs talk to us, right?
Totally.
So they speak to us. So he walked over to the hydrant. And he made sure I was watching, and he lifted his leg to
wow.
pee for the first time in like 2 years.
And this was just hours after the procedure.
Yeah.
Like, how long was this after he woke up out of the anesthesia?
This was like 3 hours after the anesthesia wore off.
This is unbelievable.
I know. It's like science fiction. It's like better than, you know, Charlie or something. Yeah,
it's, it really is.
Or the Fantastic Voyage. So basically, after that, I really just sort of, I guess I'm very narrow-minded. I'm a dog with a bone. And I really thought that stem cells were just for orthopedic and arthritis. Mm-hmm. Situations. It never occurred to me that all the incredible myriad uses that they do work for. And then fast forward almost 2 years later, I was having lunch in New York with one of the vets from San Diego, mm-hmm. VetStem, who was here. And she said, why don't you look into this for your own condition? Mm-hmm. And she showed me, gave me some pointers on how to Google it on the website clinicaltrials.gov, mm-hmm. which is a very important resource for everyone to know about if you ever have a question about health. So I went on there, and sure enough, bingo, right away I found a clinical trial for my condition, which, oh, we forgot to
mention that. We haven't even talked about you yet.
Yeah, sorry. Blah, blah, blah.
It's all good. Go on with this, and we'll talk about the condition.
All right. So I had suffered from something called a perirectal abscess and fistula. I had been septic in 1999. Wow. The year we're talking about now is 2009, so it was 10 years before. And I was taken to the emergency hospital, and I had a very high fever. And I could have died from it. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
And so I was very lucky that I didn't. But the problem that created the sepsis didn't go away. It mm-hmm. was this perirectal fistula. And it was basically leaking, stuff from my gut into my bloodstream.
Wow.
And so I had to be incredibly careful for 10 years about what I ate and drank and, you know, where I ate and drank and that kind of thing. And I had to sort of, you know, voluntarily sign up to be Howard Hughes, which, you know, nobody really wants to do. But anyway, I became a germaphobe. And so basically, she said, why don't you look into this for that? And the first thing right off the bat, I find a clinical trial in Spain for exactly that. Adult stem cells from your own fat for perirectal fistula.
Wow.
I mean, what are the odds?
Wow.
So there you go. So that launched me on a quest. I emailed the doctor, and I didn't know when I emailed him in Madrid that he was like the global preeminent guru.
Awesome.
It was sort of like, you know, emailing Dr. Schweitzer, you know. And so, but he right away, he emailed me right back.
Wow.
And couldn't have been nicer or had a better bedside manner. And he said, well, that trial is done, but we hope to be able to give this to patients very soon in the near future. So unfortunately, here in America, the near future was 5 or 10 years from now.
Yeah.
In Spain, the near future was literally within the next several months, maybe a year. Yeah. So that's the difference. And so here in America, I learned the hard way, veterinary medicine was way ahead of human medicine. Mm-hmm. Our dogs and our horses could get incredibly sophisticated, leading edge treatment that we couldn't.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It just
it's astounding, actually.
It really is.
Because there was the answer, and I was so far away from it being here in America, and they were in Spain, and blah, blah, blah.
And so then you wound up going to Spain.
I did. Well, this launched me, at first, this launched me on a kind of a round-the-world tour. It was sort of like around the world in 80 days kind of thing, only longer. And the doctor was very generous. He said, if you find someone anywhere in the world to do this, I will, you know, there are my notes and I'll talk to them, you know. And I went to Panama. I went to, well, first I was going to go to Costa Rica, but then that clinic closed. Then I went to Panama. And the problem was that they couldn't find a GI specialist, mm-hmm. a gastrointestinal surgeon, who didn't think that this was too experimental.
Wow.
So even though in Panama they were treating lots of other conditions, mm-hmm. multiple sclerosis, even paraplegia, they had never done the gut. And so, you know, they said no. Or at first they said wait, and mm-hmm. then I waited, and then finally they said no. And so then I went back to Spain and I begged. And he said, yes, come for an examination. Let's see. Anyway, so I went to Spain, and then came the waiting because I was not, obviously, a Spanish national.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't be treated in the state hospital. I would have had to be treated in the private hospital, which was very expensive.
Yeah.
And anyway, this went on and on and on.
Wow.
And then finally, it was all arranged. And, well, I'm getting ahead of ourselves. We have half an hour to go here, so I should let you ask me questions. I'm sorry, I talked too fast.
No, it's all good because I mean, you know, the story. Really stupid question. Uh-huh. Why weren't you having any of this done here?
Because I couldn't. Because there were, I mean, everywhere you went. Well, first of all, the doctors who treated me at the hospital here in New York, mm-hmm. who treated me in the emergency room. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, hello. When I said, are you following what's going on with stem cells? They were like, no. And, you know, and wow. they didn't really care. It wasn't their thing. It was out of their scope. So, mm-hmm. you know, and so, basically, yeah, anywhere I went, people looked at me, doctors looked at me here, mm-hmm. like I had two heads. Mm-hmm. And, then another friend who actually has colitis said, oh, a friend of mine knows this great gastrointestinal specialist. So I went to him mm-hmm. and he actually showed me a model of the gut and he pointed to it and he said, I don't think you understand your condition. And I said, I think the one who doesn't understand it here is me, is not me, but yeah. you. And it was like that. And so wow. I was just despairing. I really did have hope that an American doctor would get the drift.
Yeah.
And finally, it turns out that two American doctors did get the drift. They were in California, mm-hmm. but because they don't advertise and nobody had written about them, I didn't find them online.
Wow.
And I wouldn't have found them if the veterinarian who founded VetStem hadn't had a torn rotator cuff and been referred to them himself. Huh. So the man who allowed all these dogs and horses to have renewed, you know, like a new leash on life, got to understand what he had given to so many animals when he experienced the healing yeah. himself from these two doctors in California. And their outfit is called the California Stem Cell Treatment Center. So then he put me in touch with them, and I was treated finally in January 2013.
And so then your cells were pulled in Spain?
No, they were. Everything was done here.
Oh, really?
Everything was done here because, we were all set to go in Spain, mm-hmm. but at the last minute, see, it's corny, but I'm a little bit of a patriot, and I really wanted it to happen here, and yeah. I wanted to make an example for my fellow Americans not to have to travel too far.
Yeah.
It's bad enough that I had to go to California and schlep, but, you know, to have to go all the... And the problem with going to Spain, well, it would have been wonderful, because they would have stored my cells, and they would have been able to, by law, multiply them in the lab. And so I would have only had to do the one liposuction.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here in America, the FDA says you're not allowed to store or culture the cells to multiply them. You can only use what you pull that day. So there were drawbacks and benefits, but I chose to do it here because it was sort of like this idealistic, you know, vote for American medicine. Yeah. So,
you know, and it's like, yeah, as you know, I mean, I work in alternative medicine and all this kind of thing. And so I'm not up to date on huge, like, new medical procedures either. And like, from what I've known, and in all fairness, I haven't researched it heavily, but I didn't find out that you could get stem cells from anything but a fetus until I worked in a vet's office who does it.
Yep.
You know, yep. I just always assumed, because it's all you hear on the news is like fetal or umbilical cord. You never hear any of this other thing. Like after reading your book and talking to you, it was like, wait a second, they just pulled it out of your belly fat.
Yep.
Like, why isn't this available everywhere?
Well, that's the thing. What the media is kind of, you know, everybody blames President Bush and everybody blames the right wing, you know, the Christian right wing. Mm-hmm. But in reality, they never lied about the fact that they were anti-killing embryos,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So, and in Spain, look at what Spain is. It's probably the most Catholic country in the known universe. So, so here they are doing, stem cells from belly fat. Why? Because the Vatican actually has funded some of the research to prove that you don't need to kill embryos. So look, there's an agenda everywhere, but the problem here is that the mainstream media got like its knickers in a twist over this, and they didn't want to appear to be siding with entities mm-hmm. that were religious because of the, you know, and they didn't want to appear to be, you know, also endorsing, you know, it was sort of kind of just a mess.
Yeah.
And the media just obfuscated the whole thing. And lately, what the media is allowing is a little bit of a discussion of bone marrow stem cells, mm-hmm. which is great, except those are very hard to harvest.
They hurt.
Yeah, it hurts. And you don't get very much. And whereas the belly fat, you get an abundance of them. You know, you get like loads and loads. With the bone marrow, you get a little bit at a great cost of effort and pain.
Time.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, because, this is still looked down upon by the medical establishment and the media. They they think that adult stem cells from fat are quackery. They still say it. And my doctors have a lot of critics. My doctors in California, people will say that it's snake oil and it's this and that. And it turns out, in fact, that one way to find a doctor is to, when you're Googling, Google what you're Googling plus snake oil or plus charlatan plus quackery, because you have to pretend you're what you're not in order to find what might help you.
I love that. It's so true.
And I'm
true.
A journalist from way back. And look, I'm not somebody who swallows any agendas. I'm not a zombie. I'm not, but I was able to figure this all out pretty quickly.
And you're a researcher. So, like, you know how to use the internet. Like, you really know how to use it for information.
Yeah.
So if you're having trouble finding this, I mean, for the average layperson, forget it. This would take me 4 months.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that my doctors were too busy being good doctors, and they weren't advertising.
Yeah.
They weren't being, jerks, basically. Yeah. They weren't like, look at us. And because of that, I didn't, their Google ranking wasn't so high.
Right.
So, it's just so strange. And this took me, as you saw in my book, it took me on such a weird journey. I was raised by liberal teachers, and it turns out that many of the politicians who are pro this technology, pro adult stem cells, are right wingers. Like Rick Perry is the biggest fan of adult stem cells, and everybody was saying he was an idiot. Well, if that's an idiot, then talking sense this way.
Yep.
So, I think at a certain point, of course, the media was totally anti him just because he was him. But if you're going to be unbiased, you have to say, well, okay, maybe he's an idiot over here, but over here he's a genius.
Yeah.
You have to give credit where it's due.
Absolutely. And I think that can probably
plus
be
he has
said.
A dog,
Points for that. But anyone can say that about anybody, but right now we need to take a break. We will be back in 1 minute talking more about stem cells.
Animal Instinct is brought to you today by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic. Since 2008, Brooklyn Cares has been providing exceptional veterinary care to pets throughout Brooklyn, New York. Led by doctors Timothy Mann and Stephanie Liff, the practice advocates a gentle, holistic approach to caring for your pet and offers an impressive breadth of basic and advanced healthcare services for your dog or cat. This modern practice, conveniently located in the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, is fully equipped with state-of-the-art equipment to ensure that your pet receives the highest quality care, regardless of whether they're sick or injured, or simply visiting for annual wellness checkup. For more information, visit BrooklynCaresVet.com.
And I think this is a perfect time to mention that our sponsor, Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic, actually does stem cell therapy.
Yay.
So if you have a pet that needs this, contact them. They're really good at it. It's really, really cool. I saw it a couple times, and it works. So.
And it's so easy. It really is.
That's what makes me nuts about
it. Yeah, it's the easiest thing.
I mean, when it was being done to you, were you like, really? Really? You know,
well, it's funny because with our dog friends, of course, they're put all the way under for the liposuction and the injections. I was present for the whole thing.
Really?
I was under local anesthesia. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, and I didn't actually get to see the needle until later. It's like a foot long needle.
No.
Not an acupuncture needle.
No. They'd have to hit me with a hammer to get anywhere near me with that thing, man. Oh, God.
But when you think of what it does,
worth
it really...
Totally worth it.
And when we see it in the dogs, too, right?
Yeah.
At Brooklyn Cares, you could see that, like... I mean, just something overtakes the dog. And, you know, I had it done after that dog. I had it done for another dog, mm-hmm. my dog Sheba, who was a border collie. And she was also 14, and she had, like, a good year of, like, romping around and enjoying her life.
That's great. So, for animals, is this super expensive?
It's, you know, not cheap.
Okay.
It's in the four figures, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
Really, it really is.
Yeah.
And plus, the great thing, too, is that they can culture and keep the cells on ice.
Oh, nice.
So that when your dog needs a booster shot,
mm-hmm.
you can have it. So Sam, the pit bull, had, I believe, 3 additional booster shots after the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept him, you know, really limber. Sheba had 1 additional booster shot. So, you know, here, again, this is what we humans can't do because the FDA says we can't.
So is it like when you're getting the booster shot, is it kind of like it wears off and so then they're rebooting, or is it just...
Yeah, it's like some more. It's
okay.
Like, here, have some more of your own cells, which were kept on ice for you.
And because they're your own cells, your body's not going to reject them, you won't get infection, all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's the whole beauty of it, is that, you know, with an embryonic cell, and again, I was not paid by the Catholic Church to say this, with an embryonic cell, it's somebody else, and it's, you know... Very sadly, it's somebody who was killed, you know, it could have been a person, but never mind that, it's somebody else. And just like with a donor organ, you need, you know, the body kind of reacts to it, you know, but with your own tissue, it's your own and it recognizes it and it has no problem. And
makes
that's
sense.
Why let the healing begin.
Yep. Makes total sense.
Yeah. So you don't need immunosuppressive drugs. You don't need, you know, anything like that for this particular application.
And so were you doing any other therapies during this time to kind of help yourself along?
Well, okay, I was, you know, having sort of been really disappointed in medical doctors, I was avoiding doctors except my dentist, and I was seeing my chiropractor, so she's a doctor of chiropractic, and I was eating as well as I could, and one of the people that I trusted implicitly on that score was yourself, Celia, because the food healer here really knows her business.
Thanks.
Nice. In the book, you'll see there's a good couple of pages all about what Celia told me to eat and not to eat.
And that's not why Julia's on the show.
No, it isn't.
At all.
And the Catholic Church. No.
But it was also great working with you because it was, you were ready to do it, you know, and you were ready for your dogs to do it too. And so it was really, really wonderful to be able to help you strengthen everything so that once you did get the injections that you could just like bounce and just take off from there. So, and that's a really, really important point for any kind of surgery at all or any time the body's going to be traumatized in a way or another. You know, the food is what we're made out of. So we got to keep that up in order to make sure that we heal, that we're able to heal, that we're able to... You know, our body is working at top things. We can regulate things and, you know, so it's really, really important. And I don't know, and it's easy for me to say, but I don't, you know, I've seen it with other people. I don't know. I've never had your experience before, so I don't know what the difference would have been if you'd been, you know, a cheeseburger McDonald's kind of person.
Well, I think really one of the key things for me was coconut oil, because coconut oil and fish oil and even butter, like all these good fats, you know, kept me in really good shape because, again, you know, I had to avoid unnecessary bad bacteria. So I was doing probiotics, fermented stuff, pickles, sauerkraut, probiotic supplements, miso, all these fermented things. And coconut oil, as we all know, is antibacterial, antifungal, you know, and delicious, yeah. and it's good for with everything.
Yeah, it really
makes
is.
Vegetables taste like candy. It makes popcorn taste as
oh,
it
that's
should.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah. like it's just. And so I was giving it to my dogs. I was taking it. You know, things mm-hmm. like turmeric. You know, all that stuff, fish oil.
Yeah.
And I really believe that that helped me to, you know, stay alive. Like
Definitely.
Just the good eating and you know avoiding things like fluoride in the water.
Yeah.
Plastic bottles, all that stuff. You know, of course, there are times when we can't help it. But for the most part, to really try to be mm-hmm. vigilant about those things that make, frankly, make people say I was crazy a lot of the time. You know, the people thought I was, they were like, oh, man. You know, and if it wasn't organic, you know, I would get in big arguments with my mother, like, no, it's not organic, okay? And I'd be like, well, then I can't eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew I couldn't risk, you know, putting that pesticide right in there with that hole in my gut, you know, because there was nothing to protect it from.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, you know, according to your book, you were sick.
I wasn't sick,
oh, I can't eat that because, oh, I don't know. I mean, you were like dying in the bathroom.
Yeah, I would get really, really sick. And then the thing would, the fistula would like, you know, reactivate and become angry. And, you know, it really was like having a demonic, you know, episode. Yeah. And so, you know, so one of the reasons that I love dogs so much and I rescue dogs is because I really can appreciate, you know, they're just no nonsense about that.
Yeah.
They don't have any hang-ups about pooping
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, I can really tell when a dog, you know, has to go
yeah.
because I know that feeling. so like, you know, don't make them wait, you know, kind
totally.
Of thing. Yeah.
Totally. And it's, you know, what I love about all these kind of alternative or quote unquote alternative medicines, just because they're not, you know, in the mainstream now, is everyone that I've talked about with this kind of stuff, you know, animals don't recognize placebo. So like if this didn't work, your dog would have been crippled still. He wouldn't have lifted up a leg to pee. He wouldn't have jumped out of the van. He would have landed on his face, you
yeah.
know. And so,
well, you know, it's funny because even my ex-husband at the time, when the dog lifted his leg to pee, he wasn't there to witness that, and but he did witness it thereafter, and
okay.
and he was very skeptical, and he said, well, it's probably just the inflammation from the site of the injection. And I was like, really? I was like, okay, whatever
yeah.
you say, you know.
Yeah.
And but what ended up happening was the dog literally started aging backwards, and he started doing things that he hadn't done literally in years, like rolling around on his back like
wow.
Snoopy, and just he had a zest for life, you know. And it just, you could, and again, with a dog, they don't lie about
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
They just do it.
Yeah.
And then when you see it like that, it's just a beautiful thing.
And especially because it's like with people, if you would, you know, the same situation with the person, they might be feeling better, but there's still that memory of that fear that, oh God, if I do this, it's really going to hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you're not going to be like bounding down the street a couple hours after having it done. It's going to take you a lot longer to even trust the fact that, you know, whatever joint it is or whatever's going on is actually getting better.
I'm glad you said that, because actually that's exactly what happened for both dogs. They zoomed up the stairs. We lived on the parlor floor of this brownstone in Manhattan, and they just zoomed up those first
wow.
five stairs. Yeah, and it was amazing. Yeah, like you couldn't slow them down. You know, and it's like, okay, well, you know, you just got turbocharged. It's really, really something.
So cool. So like today, how are you?
I really, knock wood, feel great.
Awesome.
I really do. And, you know, I think more importantly, not that, you know, we're supposed to set huge store by what other people say about us, but in this case, you know, what you said about the placebo, what's interesting is people, as soon as I came back from this procedure, were remarking that I looked radiant.
Yeah.
And people that really didn't even know me very well. And it gave me whether it was purely a physiological improvement or it was also, as you said, a kind of a psychological thing as a result.
Yeah.
But it just gave me a kind of feeling and air of wellness that I had not had in a long, long,
That's
long
awesome.
Time. Yeah.
And so, like, are you healed? Is your fistula sealed?
I believe I am.
That's
I believe
great.
I am. But if you know, anything happens, I know what to do. I know to
yeah.
go back there, get another liposuction. Unfortunately, if we were in Europe, I wouldn't have to. I
yeah,
could
exactly.
skip that
skip
part.
That.
But yeah, so we'll just go back to the beginning and do it all over again.
Well, I got to tell you, you look like 20 years younger than when I saw you last.
Thank
it wasn't
you.
That long ago. I
Thank
mean,
you.
I'm like, I want stem cells. says.
Well, you know, they do it for rejuvenating purposes, you know, like as a beauty treatment you can get. And this is something interesting. And, you know, you've seen all these like stories online, like E! And stuff like that on plastic surgery shaming and all these, you know, stars of a certain age getting their faces Botoxed and whatever and then freezing up and looking terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the reality is that if you do, if you have your doctor do this fat-assisted lipotransfer, mm-hmm. or, you know, or rather cell-assisted lipotransfer, which mm-hmm. is fat grafting with your stem cells enhanced so that the fat, like, kind of stays.
Okay.
It'll have a natural effect, and you won't have that frozen Botox look.
Nice.
And I don't know why more people don't do this, and it's a shame because they trust their doctors, and the doctor knows Botox, so he does Botox, and it's like, you know, the doctors need to care, or if they're not gonna, then we need to care. And we need to care in whose hands we put our face, especially if we're a big name in Hollywood.
No kidding, right?
I mean, look what happened to Angelica Houston.
It's I can't even. Yeah. I can't even. I
it's
mean,
bad.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
So, and it's, you know, it's really, it's something that...
But she trusted her doctor. So, but, you know, we were, you know, most of us were raised to trust our doctor, you know, and it took a lot even for me.
Most of us.
Yeah, right. It took a lot even for me to, you know, second guess the doctor and, you know, because it's a scary thing.
It's really
they
scary.
Can show you the door and they do.
Yeah.
Even the dentist shows you the door lately. If you squawk one word of
Totally.
Know,
totally.
So, yeah, it's like, excuse me, I wanted BPA free fillings.
Get out! So true. It's like,
eject.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it is kind of scary to go up against that kind of, you know, white-coated authority. But you have to do it as politely as you can. And, you know, make inquiries. Yep. Go online. And, yeah, a lot of doctors still discourage us from going online. Yeah. Still.
Well, there's a lot of quack
and
sites,
if I
too,
hadn't,
you know?
Yes, there is, certainly is. But if I hadn't gone online, you know.
Exactly. You wouldn't be here.
Right.
You wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I mean, and it just, I can't believe how young you look.
Thank
I'm like,
you.
I just can't get
it. And I just turned 49, so.
Please. Okay, I'm going to go crawl under a rock now. Never
oh,
look
come
at
on,
a
you look beautiful,
again.
Too. Well, you didn't have a perirectal fistula.
Well, that's true.
That really, your gut, anything to do with your gut. And again, that's why Food Healer and everything she stands for is so important, because she's like a doctor. She's like Dr. Celia. And if you don't take care of your gut and your dog's gut, I might add,
your cat's gut,
you're going to have all sorts of problems.
And, you know, they're finding brain cells in the gut. And they're finding more and more and more. And the gut really, like, the gut is serious. The gut is kind of, the brain, you know, is kind of like the CEO. But the guts are kind of like, you know, everybody in the office, like all the receptionists and secretaries that are actually really keeping it going, you know.
They
like,
can
the CEO
shut
is the figurehead. But those are the ones that are doing it. Yeah, and so, like, fermented foods, probiotics, gut health is really, really, really important. And, I mean, it's what you had, was that genetic?
No, it turned out that it was a bad buildup of bacteria because, you know, over the years, I had not been the most health conscious, you know, and, you know, I, and also it was, I believe it was because, you know, the American diet is poorly food combined.
Yeah.
So in addition to all that other stuff, I try as much as possible to adhere to a food combining, which, as you know, means separating the proteins from the starch. Never eating them together.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, so many delicious things, hamburgers, pizza, you know, chicken and rice, you know, all of these things are protein and starch.
Totally.
And so that was another thing where people would look at me like I had three heads. You know, I'd go to a restaurant, I'd be like, oh, you know, and I would be really hard to, you know, but so I used to have to pretend that I had an allergy, and then people want to help you, you know, there's no other way, but yeah, so, you know, even I would be so strict that I wouldn't have tomato sauce on pasta.
Wow.
I would have, you know, because that's a fruit.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I would have, like, you know, green vegetables on the pasta with olive oil, maybe a little butter, you know, something like that. But, and if I had something like fish, I certainly would not mix it with rice.
Yeah.
So sushi was out of the question.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't mix it with any kind of bread or pasta or anything. So yeah. Yeah, it was like salad. Salad goes with everything.
Yep.
So, you know, so and with this regimen, I actually ended up dropping weight that I didn't need to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very skinny. So then I had to build it back with things like coconut oil.
Yeah.
It'll fatten you right up.
But I'll tell you, the thing that's amazing about coconut oil, just for listeners, so don't be like, I don't want coconut oil because I don't want to get fat. Okay. I was cooking. I was the only one in the house cooking. I did this for a year. Okay. I used coconut oil in everything because I wanted to see what would happen. I gained 20 pounds. I had thyroid and adrenal disease at the time, and so I was skeletal. I gained 20 pounds. My husband lost weight. He didn't. He wasn't big by any stretch of the imagination. He had a little tiny bit of weight to lose, but he lost it all. So basically what coconut oil does is it goes into the body, kind of looks around and regulates what needs to be done.
It's so, like an adaptogen almost.
It's amazing.
It's so good.
Yeah, it really is.
And speaking of that, Tulsi tea, how much do we love that? And that's an adaptogen too. And I have been able, thank goodness, to sort of regulate things like mood swings and, you know, that come at mid-age. And what I do, I finally realized this is such a precious thing that I saved the brewed leaves and I give them to one of my dogs who has a little bit of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I mix it with coconut oil so he's sure to eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I swear it has helped him so much.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
And he got spooked by a rocket on July 4th last year. Mm. And this really helps him cope with being outside and just, you know.
That's great.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And so I'm assuming your dogs eat not your typical canned diet food?
Well, they do eat a grain-free kibble, and I soup it up with coconut oil, sometimes Tulsi tea leaves, curcumin. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, curcumin or turmeric, cinnamon, what else? You know, whatever. Oh, fish oil. Yeah. One of my dogs has a joint problem. I adopted him, and he had broken his leg. They didn't set it, so he limps. So I give him the Nordic Naturals fish oil for that, and it helps him. And so, yes and no. Unfortunately, I'm not made of money. My book was published by an indie press. so you know, we have to eat what we can eat. Totally. But I keep the fluoride out of their water bowl.
Nice.
And I, I give them probiotics whenever I can.
Beautiful.
The baby one, the Gyrodophilus for baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And because that does not have magnesium stearate. That's the only one that doesn't.
Oh, there you go. You're so good.
I know.
But
I'm a freak because, you know, I know that they're not going to live as long as I want them to. And so I really like approach it like that, you know, and they love things like celery and carrots and burdock even.
That's
like
fine.
If I simmer the burdock to make the kinpira gobo.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, once I stick the second half of it into the oven, I reserve the water and the dogs drink it. And they love it.
That's
so brown gunk. They just love it.
That's great. So is there anything that you want our listeners to know about stem cells that we haven't talked about?
Basically that, you know, you're going to hear a lot about bone marrow stem cells, and you're not going to hear a lot about stem cells from fat, you know. But you should want to hear about it, and you should definitely look up California Stem Cell Treatment Center. The website is stemcellrevolution.com, which is easy to remember. They have a network called the Cell Surgical Network of doctors around the country. So now you don't have to just go to California. You can even have it done here in New York. You know, they'll consult with the founders, the men who treated
That's
me. Great. Yeah. And, you know, really, I think the most important thing is just try to suspend your hyper kind of a skeptical nature, you know, with something like this. And this is something our dogs teach us too. You know, it's okay to get enthusiastic about something like this, because this really is changing the face of medicine. And why should we have to wait, you know? And the media keeps telling us, 5 years, 10 years, this, that. Why? You know, when you get sick, or your child gets sick, or your dog gets sick, I guarantee you're going to be motivated to find a cure.
Totally.
And this is what happened to me. And it shows you what kind of a dog person I was. I did it for the dog, and then it took me a good couple of years to figure out that I was going to, you know, I could do it for myself.
Please.
You know how that is.
Animal nutrition since I was 18, okay? 10 years ago. Oh, my God, it works for people, too.
I know.
Okay?
I know,
I'm right there with you.
We're crazy.
You know, but we got here.
Yes,
least,
we did.
Know? So
we
we're
did.
Here.
Thanks
it's
to our good. Dogs. That's why I titled the book Medicine Dog.
Exactly.
Without the dog.
And this book, really, you guys, you got to get this book. If you're interested in any kind of healing, if you're interested in dogs, this book really is, it's a great read. It's a great story. There's a lot more in this book than what we've talked about today.
Also, I'd love to insert briefly that the mainstream media is pretty well ignoring this book. So that ought to show you something. And, you know, it's very punk, this book, and it has a lot of cred. So if you go and buy it, I don't think you'll be disappointed. And if you are, just let me know. I'll buy the book back from you.
There you go. And Brooklynites, this is your kind of book. You know, Seattleites, Californiaites, this is us. We got to do this together. So, Julia, if anybody has any questions or is interested in contacting you or finding out more about the book, can they do that?
Yes, absolutely. I have a blog, and it's on my website, which is pet-reporter.com. Mm-hmm. So if you go on there, you'll see the blog is called Dog is My Doctor, and because what else is it?
I love it.
And so, yeah, you can leave me a comment there, or you can... Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it.
Cool.
Because I check that all the time.
Cool. And thank you so much for coming out here to talk about this book. I can gush on and on and on. It was a real, real pleasure. And thank you for, you know, having the guts to do this and to write the book about it. I think that, you know, you're a brave lady.
Thank you.
You're a very brave
lady.
Back
at you. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. I'm Celia Kutcher. I'm the Food Healer. We'll be back next week with another show. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.